Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
What takes somebody from being the American national leader of the Ku Klux Klan to being an ordained minister in the largest African-American denomination in the USA and speaking in schools around the world against bullying and racism? Johnny Lee Clary's made that journey, and at the moment he's actually worried about the racism levels in Australia. Johnny Lee Clary, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show, ma'am.
Such a pleasure. Thank you. Firstly, what does it mean to become a grand dragon in the Ku Klux Klan? How does that happen?
Well, I was an addict to racism. You know, some people's drug might be alcohol, or some people's drug may be cocaine or something. And I was addicted to a stupid drug called racism. And I was someone who preached hatred because I was taught hatred. And, you know, that's how it gets started. People are not born with hate. They're taught it.
And what drew you into that lifestyle?
Well, I grew up in a southern environment where everyone was racist. My family, other families in the neighborhood, teachers in school. And I grew up in that time of the early 60s where there was racial segregation. And so I was taught all of it. And, you know, I didn't even know that I was racist. I had no idea because everybody else had the same beliefs that I had. So I was just someone who was taught that nonsense.
Wow. And when did you start to doubt that you're on the right path with it?
Well, it took a while. I had kind of a tragic childhood. My father committed suicide in front of me when I was 11 years old. And then my mother, being an alcoholic, sent me away after the funeral, and I went to go live in a drug-infested, gang-ridden neighborhood in East Los Angeles, California.
Wow.
With my sister and her boyfriend. And so I was being beaten up and bullied in school by gangs and everything else. And so I was about ready to give up on life and thinking about committing suicide at 14 years old so I could go be with my dad.
Mm.
And then I met a man from the Ku Klux Klan that said, "You need a family, and we'll protect you. Come join us." And at that point in time, any gang probably could have said, "Come join us and we'll protect you," and I'd have went with them. And so I made the wrong choice to get with the Klan, and they taught me hatred. And I rose the way up in the ranks, and I started studying all this nonsense and started preaching hatred. But along the way, I doubted a lot of things that I seen the Klan say and do. And I started thinking, you know, deep down, it can't be right. And I would meet people of different races that were nice to me. And I used to think, I can't really hate this person, but you have to. Well, really? You know, and stuff like that. And I mean, and so deep down inside, I started really struggling with all those things. And it took a while. And then my little house of cards started falling. They wanted me to be their national spokesman, which is Grand Wizard. And I started speaking for the Klan on national TV and stuff. But deep down inside, I'd be by myself. And I'd think, man, I'm not even believing this nonsense that I'm sitting there preaching to people.
Wow.
And then my girlfriend, she turned out to be an FBI agent, you know, to infiltrate the KKK to get close to me and get all the information she could. So I felt betrayed there. And then other people started going to jail for being involved with Nazis and skinheads and stuff. And I looked at my life and I thought, if I keep this up, I'm going to end up in prison for the rest of my life. And do I want to spend the rest of my life in prison, or is there more to life than the Ku Klux Klan? So I made the decision to leave the Klan, and it turns out it was the best decision I ever made. And then I started renewing my mind. I started reading the Bible and going to church and meeting friends of other races meeting people of other races, and they were making friends out of me. You know, they say the best way to overcome an enemy is to make a friend out of him. And so that's what was happening with me. And then about a year later, I started, you know, I was looking at these kids that were joining hate groups on one of those talk shows, and I thought, somebody needs to talk to those kids. And I knew that somebody was me because I'd been there and done that. And I thought, I need to tell them not to make the same mistakes I did. And so that's what started me out on this journey that I'm on today. And I've been speaking out against hate and racism for over 20 years now.
You really burnt your bridges too with your racist past. What was your big public act on TV?
I took a Klan hood and I shined a black preacher's shoes with them in front of an audience of about 10,000 people in live and then on television, and millions saw it. And then that was it. The Klan said, the Klan sees me today as one of the worst traitors of all time.
Not a bad title.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
I don't want the Klan being thinking good of me, because if they're thinking good of me, I'm doing something wrong, you know.
Incredible. And how many times have you visited Australia now?
This is my 12th time, and most people tell me that I've seen more of Australia than the average Australian. And I said, well, I can't help that. I love this country. It's fun to come to.
See, we can sit back and hear your story and think, oh, wow, that's all in America, and, gee, good to be in Australia. But unfortunately, you've made some observations about us as Aussies. Share.
Yeah, well, now let me say this. Australia is not a racist country, and a lot of people think I said the other day that it's a racist country, and I said, no, I didn't say that. I love Australia, and it's full of good people, but unfortunately, there are huge numbers of racists in this country, and whether they belong to the Klan or not. Now, the Ku Klux Klan is here, and there's other white supremacist groups that's even stronger than the Klan, like the Nazis and the National Alliance, National Front and stuff, and these groups are all a danger, but whether someone belongs to those groups or not, if they're full of hate and prejudice against their fellow man, they might as well go join these groups because they have the same attitudes. And I'm seeing so much of this all across Australia and people complaining, griping about the Asians or griping about the Lebanese or griping about Aboriginals or griping about white people, you know, and stuff. And I see all this happening all the time. I'm saying, come on, man, there's too much racism here. And that's what's breeding, because these white supremacist groups on their websites now, they're saying Australia is our homeland and we love Australia and this and that, and they're going after Australia, and the more prejudice and racism that happens over here, it becomes a breeding ground for these white supremacist groups, and so that's why it has to be stopped.
Is there sort of a checklist you think we should have with ourselves, questions we can ask ourselves to really examine our attitudes about it?
Yes, I say, are we judging people by the content of their character, or are we judging people what we're just seeing on the outside? And so what I do is I said, check yourself. Are you listening to racial jokes and laughing at them? Or when someone tells you a racial joke, do you stand up and say, I'm sorry, I don't tolerate prejudice and racism, and I don't want to hear it? Because people, if you never say nothing when they tell you a racial joke, they take that as a sign, everybody thought it was funny, I can just keep it up. Mm. And then when you hear other people complain about races, do you take a stand and say, guess what, there's good and bad in all colors of people, or do you remain silent? Remember, Edmund Burke said, evil prevails when good men do nothing. And so I tell people, I say, you know, take a stand. Watch for people around your area, people you work with, people you go to church with, people you go to school with. And I tell the young people, all for one and one for all. Take a stand against racism in the schools and bullying and violence. Stick up for each other, and you could stop bullying if the kids in the school will adopt a policy, hey, we all stand up for each other. We don't allow bullies in this school.
Great. I appreciate your thoughts on that this morning.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm in Newcastle this week. I'm in Nelson Bay this week up at Fort Stevens. If anybody wants to come hear me, I'm this weekend at Beachside Christian Fellowship in Nelson Bay.
Great. We'll get the details about that up on our Facebook page. It's just Aaron and Helen. You'll find us on Facebook, and we'll have all those details on there. And just before we let you go, Johnny Lee, there's one other thing on your resume that I just want to touch on. Champion pro wrestler?
Yeah. I had the NWF, National Wrestling Federation, Arkansas Heavyweight Championship, and I was champion of the state of Arkansas, and back in the 1980s, and I wrestled. I had a feud going with Sergeant Slaughter, and I even was a wrestling manager, too. I managed women wrestlers to try to take Wendy Richter's belt from her, and she was managed by Cyndi Lauper. So we had a nice feud little going, and I had a career in pro wrestling, but because of the stupid choices I made by belonging to the Klan, I threw my wrestling career away. And I tell people, let that be a lesson to you.
Incredible stuff.
Like the message you've got now, actually. So please keep it up. The Sunday services at the Beachside Christian Fellowship in Taylor's Beach, and there's also a Friday night youth rally, but we'll put that info up on our page as well, our Facebook page. So great to talk to you this morning, Johnny Lee Clary.
Hey, add me as your friend on Facebook, Johnny Lee Clary on Facebook.
Oh, done.
We'll look
will
you
do.
Up. Done.
All right. Okay. Hey, thank you guys for having me on your show, and let's keep the fight together, and let's overcome racism in Australia.
He's a beautiful man that knows lots about web and tech and stuff. His name is Andrew Morris. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Wright and Helen.
Hello.
Nice to be in the house. And, there's plenty of stuff happening. Big news in the world of cameras.
Okay.
Look, you know, the cameras and mobile phones, there's something new coming out virtually every day, literally every day. Now, with cameras, they've gotten smaller and their megapixel sizes are larger. They have now got little projectors, so you can take the photo and then automatically project that image onto a blank wall. So that's all very nifty. So where would they go next? Where would they go? Well, they put cameras in phones and make them like 12 megapixel phone cameras and stuff.
I don't even use a camera anymore. I just use my phone.
Well, there you go.
It's easier. One thing to carry around.
Neat. And that's what they want. Convergence is the word.
Mm-hmm.
But Fuji have come up with the idea of let's go back. Let's go back to the future. And you know the old grandpa cameras from the 70s that sort of had metal top with all the dials and a metal bottom with sort of a leather in between and a fixed lens?
Yes.
You need to be a tourist in a big Hawaiian shirt to truly pull the look off.
Yeah, picture that kind of 1970s camera with a fixed focal lens and stuff. Well, Fuji have releasing, and we talked about it last year, but this month it's released around the world. It's the Finepix X100. So what the neat thing about this, not only is it retro and it looks really groovy, and I've got a photo here for you. So
That's retro.
It is very retro, but it's got all state-of-the-art technology behind it.
And, oh, fun!
And a lens that you can look through. So it's got the LCD screen, but also a viewing, you know, an eye viewer. Lens. But the good thing about this is that it's a bit bigger than compact cameras, but it's also using the SLR chip lens.
Oh.
So you'll get a lot better quality. And it's basically aimed at enthusiasts or professionals.
It's aimed at hipsters on their fixie bikes.
Yes, it also comes with accessories like the leather bag, you know, the moulded leather bag. So,
okay, if you leave that with me, I'm going to get that up on our Facebook page.
Oh, but hang on. Most importantly, does it have the cube flash that you put on top and it like...
flash. It actually has an inbuilt flash, but you can also put a flash on top as well. It's got a hot shoe on the top.
I like those disposable ones you used to chuck out. Remember? Yeah.
Up till this point, the brand Leica, which is a German-made camera.
They would
produce cameras similar to this, but this is Fuji's first foray into this, and it'll be interesting. Having spoken to a few different camera shops, like they've got back orders of like 30 to 50 orders already on back order. So, the popularity is going to be massive on that. In other news, Microsoft Kinect, which was released just last year, which is the motion sensing thing. You don't need a controller because it's in this 3D camera kind of thing which picks up hand movements and leg movements.
Right.
It's the fastest selling gadget in the most, well, since this year, basically. It's outsold iPhone, iPad. So that's given Microsoft a good kick along in terms of sales. And finally, cyber attacks. We've heard all about it. Australia's set up their own little cyber unit to try and stop cyber attacks, but they're increasing.
Yeah, yes.
The government's announced... Yay for cyber attacks.
Aussie.
Setting up the counterattack.
There's been 400 cyber attacks hitting Australian government networks in the last year, which is an increase of over 220 from the previous year. Now, I won't mention, one of them was an activist group called Anonymous, which had an operation, which I won't mention because it's slightly rude, but they basically attacked Kevin Rudd's website and government websites and stuff, putting like 7.5 million hits a second on his site.
Oh, wow.
So you can see why it would crash with that many hits.
Man, yeah.
So that's an increasing problem. A lot of governments playing this field now, a lot of countries wanting to spy and delve into the secrets of other nations. But, so Australia...
I can delve into the secrets of us with these 360-degree cameras we're all setting up in our home. Please, look at me. Just begging for someone. Am I getting conspiracy theorist?
A little bit. No, I think you got a point.
No, there was an interesting article. I think Katrina spoke about it last week, how, let's not say Gen Y, but, we're sort of narcissistic. But that's for another discussion at another time.
Okay.
Our psychological segment with Andrew... Yesterday at 7:26, Helen's been concerned for some time about a mole she's had on her face.
Dear.
And, I'm not in a way to be mean, but I'm thinking I had similar concerns until something inspired me last year to finally get a skin cancer check. And it's the best thing I think I've done because I no longer worry. Well, until I get to my next check.
It is just one of those little niggles in the back of your mind that keeps cycling around.
Oh, is it ever? And it can drive you a little mad. Mm-hmm. So I set for Helen a 24-hour challenge to go get the mole checked so you can just breathe easy or get it fixed and dealt with. And as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Here we are, 24 hours and 2.5 minutes later.
Yep, it is mole o'clock. Okay, I can't tell, I did go.
They good,
did
fit
me in. Yay! Someone had very conveniently cancelled at 12:15 yesterday.
Yes.
They originally said, oh, we're booked up till April, and then somebody pulled out, so I got to sneak in there, which was actually a real relief.
Thank goodness.
And it's never a dignified experience, is it? Going along.
No, it isn't pleasant.
Please inspect my entire body for growth.
Yeah. You know, people who do that, you know, skin cancer specialists checking people.
Yes, my hat's off to you. And, you know, this particular mole man was neither old nor ugly.
I don't think he likes being called that either. Just really? I don't know him, but I'm guessing that's not a name he'd like.
I know, but old and ugly are two things I like in somebody looking at my moles, I've got to be honest. No, he was lovely, and I am going to go back, and he's going to remove one and biopsy it for me, but it's not urgent. It's nothing too scary. It does make me ask the question, why on earth did white people think it was a good idea to settle in a climate like this? Why?
Yes. That's valid. So you're okay.
I'm okay.
Moles are okay. Fine.
Yes. I do officially have a lot of moles. I said that in inverted commas because that's a quote.
Well, it's. I do too, but that's all right.
I'm focusing on my inner beauty right now.
Oh. It's our climate and, you know.
It's is. It's growing up, going to swimming club every Saturday, then to the local water park after that.
And not wearing sunscreen.
And winning the sunscreen argument with my mum.
Oh, no.
I'm not wearing it.
Yeah.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.